Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Toronto Blue Jays have gone from pretender to contender in one fell swoop.
I'm more than okay with this trade. This is unbelievable. It's Christmas has come a month early. Thank you. Thank you, Alex.
General Manager Alex Anthopoulos pulling the trigger on a 12-player blockbuster that sees the Jays send seven players to the Miami Marlins, including Yunel Escobar, Henderson Alvarez, and Adeni Hecheverria. Coming back to Toronto, five of the top players on Miami's roster, led by one of the best all-around shortstops in baseball, Jose Reyes, and two frontline starting pitchers, Mark Burley and Josh Johnson.
Sportsfeld story time. We are taking it back to a team that we actually made quite a few comparisons to down the stretch here. I remember at the end of July of 2021, as the Blue Jays faced being a 500-ish team heading into the playoff push, heading into August, heading into a crucial part of the season, there was fear that this team may not make the requisite upgrades to push all in, to chase a playoff spot, to go from pretty good to very good. And the team that was on your mind, Jake, as a comparison as to how it could all go wrong, was the 2014 Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, I guess you could put 13 in there as well. We've had the question in the mailbag a couple times in the last few weeks of what was the most disappointing, if you will, Blue Jays season that you can think of? And would this season top it? And I have made the argument that no, it would not, because this isn't disappointing yet. And also, they're kind of playing with house money in a lot of ways this year. But the easy pick, my easy pick for the most disappointing Blue Jays season, pick them, 2013 or 2014, doesn't matter. Immediately after retooling the entire roster, it felt like. And then just, it didn't work. So many what-ifs come from these trades and those years that it's kind of crazy.
A few months ago, we sort of look back at the Brett Laurie era, and this is sort of right before that. If you want to talk about the two eras that we have talked about with this team, you have sort of the Halladay-Burnett 2009, and then you had, you know, Brett Laurie sort of grows out of this lore. There's a version of this team that, you know, Batista in 2010 hits 54 home runs, and suddenly it's looking like something major has to happen, right? Because 2010, that Halladay year, 85 win team, and they were 81-81. 2012, 73-89. It was very much like, okay, you know, is Batista for real? Encarnacion was becoming sort of a special sort of, you know, some found money and turning into a real ball player. You had John Farrell jump off the ship after 2012. So it all led to 2013 offseason. I remember very vividly November 19th, 2012, being at, I believe it was still 370 King Street with Andrew McKay and I myself working.
No one was crushed by this not working more than Andrew McKay.
So true. Off the deep end, it drove him. I remember November 12th, late into the night, the trade first leaking out. First, the Blue Jays signed Melky Cabrera to be an outfielder, which they certainly needed, but it was trickled out by Kenny Rosenthal. The Blue Jays were close to acquiring Josh Johnson, was what how this deal started to trickle out. Over the course of the night, it would be revealed the Blue Jays were moving Henderson Alvarez, Anthony Desclafini, Yunel Escobar, Adani Hecabarria, Jake Marisnik, Jeff Mathis, and Justin Nicolino. So that is seven players on the way to the Miami Marlins in exchange for Emilio Bonifacio, John Buck, Mark Burley, Josh Johnson, and Jose Reyes. That is one, two, three, four, five guys that at the time of trade you are expecting to be major leaguers right away.
And coming out of those trades, some facts we have learned since both Henderson Alvarez and Josh Johnson failed their physicals.
Right.
But both were included in the deals anyway. Johnson only made 16 starts in 2013 with a 6.20 ERA due to bone spurs in his elbow, which sidelined for half the season, and he never pitched the majors again. Alvarez also missed half the 2013 season. Also, weird fact, I actually didn't know till right now that the Marlins wanted Justin Nicolino over Noah Syndergaard, which is interesting. What else? I guess that's the only interesting facts from an immediate standpoint. But yeah, I was so excited by this. It was everything we had finally waited for. I was like, Jose Bautista was hitting, Eber Encarnacion was starting to become a guy. And I was like, all right, they're putting the pieces around players to win. And like, you know, I feel like Emilio Bonifacio is the kind of player the Jays had been acquiring up till that point. And then all of a sudden you have Josh Johnson and Mark Burley and at the time scumbag Jose Reyes. It's like, it was a big deal.
Jose Reyes is a Blue Jay was the original little macro that we all used to say.
That's right. X is a Blue Jay, if you will.
Fuck him and get rid of him. I would have never believed this in my life, Jake. Honestly, if you had told me this before today, I would not have believed you. Adani Hecabarria would go on to play 922 major league games. Doesn't that seem like 600 games too many?
Yeah, I think he kind of left my sort of perspective, I guess, after this trade happened. I know I followed him, I guess, the year after, because as you do with players you trade away, because Hecabarria had some buzz behind him at the time.
He was a defensively capable shortstop. If anybody remembers what it was like to watch Jose Reyes play shortstop for the Blue Jays. It was pretty sorely missed pretty quick.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, well, I wonder how he's doing. But yeah, I didn't think he played that many games at all.
He would never at any point over a full season put up an OPS plus of 100 or better. And yet plays 9 years with seven different teams.
Wow. I would not have expected that.
Last active last, he played 27 games last year with Atlanta. Not on a roster this year. Truly amazing. Honest to goodness. I would not have guessed that. I think of all the guys the Jays give up, he was on to play the most games in the rest of his career. Yeah, John Buck, a guy that would hit some home runs. Mark Burley, who I think ends up being the best piece of this deal. I don't think that's even that debatable for the Blue Jays. John Buck would hit 20 home runs in his 1 year with the Jays and then acquiesce to, I believe, J.P. Arencibia as a job.
Yes, I believe you're right.
But I was very high on Reyes. I was very high on Bonifacio. I was very high on Josh Johnson. And I think those were the three worst guys to pick when it comes to this deal. Because obviously Mark Burley would stick around and become a huge part of the playoff teams. But it's funny how those names ended up being the less of the deal.
Yeah. If you look at the, I guess, six players in this deal to be potentially excited about, I should say, if you look at if you have Dickey, Burley, Johnson, Reyes, Bonifacio, and those six. Dickey and Burley, the only ones that would contribute to the playoff run.
Truly wild. Anyway, this is all a long way to say, Jake, is that it doesn't fucking work at all in 2013. They actually end up worse than they were the year before. They go 74-88.
High and deep to right. Lobaton has done it again. He walks off the Jays for a second time in the series. His fifth home run of the season. And the Blue Jays will have to wait another series to win at the Trop.
Poor Gibby. In over his head pretty much the whole way. Not long after that, that was the main event on the 19th. Not long after, December 12th, 2012, they trade Wulimir Becerra, John Buck, Travis d'Arnaud, and Noah Syndergaard to the New York Mets in exchange for R.A. Dickey, Mike Nickias, and Josh Tolley.
This is famously the trade that will break Blue Jays fans' brains for the next 7 years in terms of trading prospects.
Mm-hmm.
No one in this town has thought about trades properly since this trade, in my opinion. It's all that every prospect we trade is going to become fucking Noah Syndergaard, when none of them have, of all the many prospects we've traded, except for Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah. I mean, listen, heartbreaking to watch Syndergaard go on to become the guy he did. But
of course,
at the time, to nobody's surprise, I was truly on board with the Blue Jays making this deal.
He had just won a Cy Young. How could you not?
2.73 ERA, five complete games, three shutouts the year before, 233 innings, struck out 230 batters, led the league in strikeouts and innings and shutouts and starts and batters faced, a 139 ERA plus. As you said, Cy Young, winner, All-Star, was 14th MVP voting. Maybe surprising that R.A. Dickey, the years after this deal, 2013, his ERA is 4.21, which is not great, but 98 ERA plus, so pretty much league average. The next year, 3.71, a 102 ERA plus. The next year, 3.91. So in his first 3 years, two of the three seasons, his ERA is under four. Not how I remember R.A. Dickey's tenure, I'll tell you that much.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, I think the fact that he got rocked in the games that mattered is why.
Yes.
But I would also not point to R.A. Dickey as the reason that the 2013 Blue Jays were bad. Here's some numbers for you in 2013. Behind the plate, J.P. Arencibia played 138 games. His OPS plus, 59.
Yeah, he was really bad.
Emilio Bonifacio played 94 games. His OPS plus, 58. Then you have Meiser Asturias, who played 107 games with an OPS plus of 65. Rajai Davis played 108 with an OPS plus of 88. Munenori Kawasaki played 96 with an OPS of 76. And it just kind of goes on from there, unless your name was Edwin Encarnacion, Colby Rasmus, Jose Bautista, or Adam Lind.
Yeah, great point. Moises Sierra, low-key, also...
That's right.
Got it done. But
I only played 35 games.
I completely forgot that Meiser Asturias played 100 games this season.
Yeah, it's because Bonifacio and Reyes couldn't stay healthy.
Oh my God, Bonifacio. Bonifacio was the guy that every team convinces themselves that Bonifacio is the guy that they're going to need when the playoffs hit, right? Like, oh man, multi-position, speed, defense. And you watch him and you're like, oh, he doesn't do any of that shit. He can't hit at all. He can't feel. He's not especially fast.
Bonifacio put up a nice 218, 258, 321 slash line.
Goodness gracious.
2013.
This is, and Loviste. He also brought us Loviste.
He did bring us Loviste, which bless him for that. But I don't think I realized that Colby Rasmus had as good a year as he did in 2013.
He would take the flack because his dad was sort of a jerk.
Yeah. And he was arguably the third best hitter on the team.
Bit of a space cadet as well. Anyway, it does not work out.
Melky Cabrera, I believe also, he had an OPS plus of 88. I believe this is the year that we found out after the season that he had a tumor on his spine all year.
Yes. And basically it was a miracle that he could walk at all.
Yeah. He was good the next year, though.
Yeah. And also, to your point about it not entirely being R.A. Dickey's fault, the rotation entirely made up of guys with ERAs over four. Dickey a 4.21, Brilli a 4.15, Happ 4.56, Josh Johnson 6.2, Todd Redmond ends up being fourth with a 4.32, and Esmil Rogers started 20 games, ERA of 4.77. So nobody to turn to at any point for a single good start anywhere in that entire. How about Chin Ming Wong? Six starts of 7.7 ERA. Brendan Morrow, maybe even then.
But it's funny looking at this sort of the pitching stats here, in that the rotation was awful, but the five main bullpen arms were pretty fucking good. You Casey Jansen, ERA under, all of them had an ERA 3 except for Darren Oliver. All of them had an ERA plus well over 100. The bullpen wasn't awful, but when every, I guess when you're down 7-2 every time you're coming in, not a lot of high leverage either. So
yeah,
man, Casey Jansen was good that year.
Pythagorean, they were a little shortchanged. Pythagorean had them 3 wins higher, as it almost always does. But the Jays would get outscored this entire year, 712-756. So not a especially hard luck team. They didn't ever play well basically at any point all year long.
Yeah, I think there was one point in the season where like they had one of their typical like 9-game win streaks in June. It was like, oh, maybe. And then immediately lost the next like 14 to 15 or something.
You are absolutely correct. You were talking about basically exactly midway through the season, game 74.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
They go on a huge winning streak to move them to 500 is what they move them to 38-36. They win 11 games in a row and it gets them back to five. It gets them 2 games over 500, a record they would take 500-ish into the All-Star break and then completely fall apart in the back half and a bunch of other losing streaks. Crap in there.
Yeah, second half this year sucked. This is, you know, this is fresh in my mind because we just had a question in the mailbag about it today. Question, would you rather miss the playoffs by 1 game or 7? This season is why I'd rather miss by 1.
Yeah. In the second half, go 29-39, finish well back. 12-14 in September, 12-17 in August, 10-16 in July after a nice 17-9 June. Also really bad in April. Just a really bad year that they were never, ever good. But hope sprang eternal in the coming season that perhaps the 2014 team could turn it around. We will look at that team, the regular season that was, and where it all comes wrong next week on Sports Fun Storytime.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.